The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is a place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that they are going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Would you pray with me, please? Abba, we cannot thank you enough for the blessing of Easter, for the opportunity to rejoice, to uplift one another, and to worship you this day, whether it is here in this place or tuning in through digital means. God, we have answered the call and we have gathered together, and we just hope and pray that you encounter us today wherever we might be, that you open our hearts and minds to the invitation of your Holy Spirit, and that through you, with you, and in you, we can boldly proclaim the Easter truth, that you love us, that you are with us, and that we are truly free. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here we are. You did it. You made it. It's Easter. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but if you had some Lenten disciplines, of which I totally tanked mine, but that's okay. We're done with it. We're not really. Not yet. I know. She really wants that peep. Really does. Really does. Don't worry. I'm only going to preach for about 25 more minutes, and then we'll move on. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. But here we are. We've made it. We're in Easter. And what a joyful day it is. I was really surprised. We had a 7 a.m. worship service today. We beat the sun to church, and I was quite pleasantly surprised at how much energy I had and how much energy was in the room. Like, I was skipping down the aisle. Me. I couldn't do that after a while ago because I had a knee injury, but there we are, because that's what it is today. Today is one of joy. Not just because whatever you might have given up for Lent, you now have the freedom to take back on, the food choice or whatever it might have been, but because we are free from everything. We have a freedom from all the cares that the world would try to hold us down with. It's a beautiful thing when we truly sit down and realize just what the resurrection means. Oftentimes, when we assemble for Easter, we assemble under these auspices of that because Christ is risen, so we too will rise again. And we look at it from that eschatological viewpoint, or that at the end of all things, right? So we know since Christ died and was raised, when we die, when we shed this mortal stuff, and we get to put on the immortal stuff, we're going to come back too, and it's going to be great. But if that's where we stop with the miracle of Easter, we're not really embracing Easter. Because Easter is more than just the end of it all. It's more than just freedom from that death. It's freedom from everything. Freedom from death now. It's freedom from all of those shackles that the world would try to put on you today. It's freedom for you and I to love one another, to care for one another, to not be concerned about the worries of the world, to have to accumulate all of the stuff and things, and to make sure that we're doing it right all the time. We don't have to worry about that stuff because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. So here's a catch. I'm going to be throwing out these little cues. I want to see if you're still awake, because I might put you to sleep, so I apologize. But here we go. Christ is here today. The miracle of Easter is here today. It's a freedom for today, not just tomorrow. Now, the world would have us believe things differently because even in Scripture, we see it mentioned a few times. The world is based primarily in fear. Fear of not having enough or not getting it done right or not being the proper way that the world wants us to be. But what we see here in Scripture is we see the flip side of fear. We instead see faith. We see the truth and reality of what God can do. And we see it in a very beautiful and very precise way. Because out of all the Gospels, since we're in the year of Mark, Mark's Gospel is the shortest of them all. It's the most concise. It's the least like Pastor Dave, because I'm very wordy. As I mentioned when we began the study of Mark shortly after Christmas, I couldn't write this gospel. I love to hear myself talk too much. So I add extra words to make it happen. Mark doesn't do that. He barely gives us anything. That's why we have the other two synoptics, because Matthew and Luke, they expound on that. So when we look at the resurrection story in the other two synoptic gospels and in the Gospel of John, we get a lot more. But technically, according to the oldest manuscripts we have, what we read today and how we ended today, and thank you, Randy, for doing that reading, that's how the Gospel of Mark ends. If you're reading along at home, you might notice that in your translation, there's more stuff afterwards. But I want you to pay attention, because at the beginning of that, starting in verse 9, there's a bracket. And all of that extra stuff is bracketed, which means that according to historians and scholars, that stuff that's in there was added later. It wasn't part of the original Gospel of Mark. So I have to wonder, why would Mark's gospel end the way it does, so suddenly and abrupt? Maybe there's a reason for that. Could it be, perhaps, that the reason why the Gospel of Mark ends so quickly after the resurrection is because the remainder of that gospel is something that you and I are being called into living today? Not something that one time a year we go back and reflect on and then cling to the hope of for the end of our time, but something that we choose to write by experience as we continue on our journey in this Easter season. To say, yes, this is how it might have ended on paper, but what we experience is happening right now. The way we choose to live Easter, to proclaim Christ as risen, to say, look, I am free in Christ to be who God is calling me to be, despite how much the world might tell me that's not possible. Because we see that impossibility here in Scripture. We see it, and not just in the fact that Christ was raised from the dead, but even in more of a mundane way. When the women who were with Christ were heading to his body, they had everything they needed to anoint him because they couldn't do it right after he died because of their Jewish tradition and laws. What's the problem that they present? How the heck are we going to get in? Who's going to move the stone? Now, we don't have that problem today because we don't generally, you know, inter people the same way, but it was a very large stone that was rolled in front of the walkway. You couldn't just... It's not like opening a door. It's a big piece of earth. And they had no idea how to move it. They had everything else prepared, but like, what are we going to do? But the reality of their problem, it wasn't a problem at all, because the stone was already moved. And it was in that moment that they could see just how possible these impossible things could be. You see, God didn't wait for them to arrive to show them this miracle of moving the stone aside. It was already done. They just had to go there and see it. This hope and truth of Easter is no less different in our lives today, because there are countless immovable stones in our own lives that the world is telling us we cannot move. But the truth is, God's already moved them. We just have to take that step in faith over fear to realize how active God has always been. That's the difficulty with faith and fear. I've preached this once before, but it's a message worth repeating. Faith and fear are siblings. They're two sides of the same coin, because what does fear ultimately want? Fear wants you to believe in something that hasn't yet happened. Fear wants you to believe that these stones in your life cannot be moved, that you cannot be free from your faults and your failures and all the times you haven't done it right and all the mistakes that have defined you up to today. But what does faith want? Faith wants you to believe in something that has not yet happened. And faith wants you to realize that that stone, as immovable as it might appear to be, it doesn't matter, because God's already moved it. God has freed you from it, and all you have to do is step out in faith to see that reality. You're not defined by yesterday. You're defined by Christ. You are defined by a freedom that surpasses all understanding. You are defined by a love that no grave can hold back. You are defined by Christ. And as Christ has been raised from the dead, so too will you and I. And not just at the last trumpet, but today. So whatever brought you here today, hear these words. It is not what defines you when you leave. God loves you just the way you are. God trusts you just the way you are. And God believes in you just the way you are right now. You are free. And in that freedom, you can go forward and you can share the truth, the hope, the life, and the light of Easter. To love one another, to forgive, to support, and to live into the fullness of who you are being called to be. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And you are right there with him. Amen.